You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you doing today?
Good, buddy. It's Friday. Glad it's Friday.
Thanks.
Love a Friday.
Yeah. TGIF, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Yeah. Good times and bad times, huh? They were the worst of times. They were the best of times.
Yeah, that's how poetic.
Just thought I'd start out with it. Was that how prophetic or was that how pathetic? I used to get that a lot, too.
Well, that was poetic, but...
Okay, yeah. Oh, poetic, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I used to get accused of being under the pathetic annoying.
Uh-oh.
Rather than the prophetic anointing, you know.
That's pretty funny.
Used to call myself, not pastor, but pester. When I was into the healthcare business, you know.
Pester Frank.
It was truly hell on earth for me. Because it was, I so longed to tell people, you know, the promises and the truth of the gospel and share the good things of God with them. And I just come to find out, you know what, there's a large group of people that don't care. and they just, you know what I mean, it was just kind of a sad, pathetic, time for me, you know, and, because I had done a lot of street witnessing and seen a lot of good fruit come, you know, of it. You know, if people knew how excited, really excited, and hungry and thirsty people are out on the streets, more people would go out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They are, as you were talking about fear, you know, I mean, that it's one of the fears, you know, either public speaking or speaking to unknown or, you know, unfamiliar people, you know? And because of the negative news that comes across the TV, radio, whatever, the airwaves, it automatically people get, you know, they allow that fear, and they're not realizing that fear is affecting them. And we have all kinds of justification reasons why we just don't step out and do things that we want to do in life, witnessing is one of them. You know, Jesus said, if you're afraid to confess me before men, you know, I won't confess you before your Father and I won't confess you before my Father and your holy angels. So it's kind of like, well, made a decision a long time ago. I think I'm going to say something.
Well, you know, we can be a great witness to people.
Yeah.
Not just with what we say, but with, in fact, far more importantly, I believe, with how we live our lives. You know, being a witness, sharing the gospel, sharing the good news. I know that a lot of people, they get it in their head that, oh man, you know, I'm not a good Christian because I don't go around knocking on doors and handing out tracts. I haven't found any spot in the Bible where it says you need to knock on somebody's door and or hand them a check tract. It simply says that you need to share the good news. And sharing the good news can be wherever you go, be it at work, be it at the park, whenever the Holy Spirit gives you unction to share the good news. That's my take on it. So now, anybody out there who has a ministry that does that, that goes door to door and hands out, I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. If that's what the Holy Spirit has called you to do, then you best be doing it. But if you're not called to that, don't think you're less than, oh, I'm not a good Christian because I don't go around knocking on people's doors. Don't go there. It's not truth.
We I was just going to say, after as many years I've done street witnessing and that type of thing, actually God had me like starting out selling vacuum cleaners.
I used to sell Kirby's.
Yeah, so did I for years. Anyways, the point that I was gonna make is it wasn't my, you know, it wasn't something that naturally felt comfortable, you know, going and knocking on somebody's door and that type of thing. And when it comes to...
I never got used to it.
Yeah, witnessing and stuff like that, it's real rare that I would be knock on doors. In fact, in street witnessing, you oftentimes don't have to knock on anybody's door. All you have to do is go out on a street corner. But from the church that I came through, I would say is probably one of the best at taking the most timid of Christians,
mm-hmm.
and taking people that you know have that philosophy. In fact, they take everybody out as a group at least twice a year.
Are they using any type of performance enhancing drugs or no? I'm kidding.
Yeah. Well, they get it's basically they get pumped up how the normal guys that go out weekly, daily and weekly.
Yeah.
They basically go through scriptures like, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes will be saved. He who doesn't believe, you know, or believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who doesn't is damned already. I mean, the Bible says in Proverbs, a wise man winneth souls. So now you can take that in, you know, a lot of people use, you know, excuses for not sharing their faith. And I believe you can share it anywhere at any time under the unction and leading of the Spirit of God. And you need to be, the more sensitive you become of the Holy Spirit and that leading, the more effective you will become.
Mm-hmm.
And the more of inroads. But some people, you know, get to a place where they, you know, they do force it. I've had people force, you know, out in the streets and do things that were out of protocol, out of just common sense. You know, I think I told you about the guys that were fighting one time on a real bad corner in South Minneapolis, and one of the guys ran off, they got beat up, and he comes back with a 2x4 with a two big long spiked, you know, 16-inch nails coming through that 2x4.
Mm-hmm.
He just ripped it off of his, and he come back to beat that guy up with it. That guy took that stick away from him and beat the snot out of him one more time and let him, you know, sent him sailing. And then one of the people that was in my group that we went out with, normally three people, and what we usually have a leader, what we call a wing person, where you just stand by and you add support, but you help protect keeping people from breaking in and interrupting while we're talking. Because that's a tactic of the enemy that happens out in the street. And then the other person may just sit back. They may have never been out in the streets, but they can pray. And that's what we do, is we initiate them into prayer. And they just keep praying in the process. The part that people, like I said, don't believe. Now, those are some real extreme cases, like I said, where this guy, he said, I'm going to go witness to this guy, that had just, you know, beat the other guy up. And
right.
I told him not to do it. Now, I was a leader. He should have obeyed me, but he didn't.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, we didn't hang up, you know, up to dry or anything after. But the point is this, he learned a lesson. When he went up to the guy just sneered at him as he was about to get on his bus, you know. And as he said, you know, wanted to share some with him. And, it was just totally inappropriate. When a guy's so filled with full of fury and anger, that you know what? Unless you're real good with a soft answer and turning away wrath, and you got to be walking in a lot of love. But it was sheer stupidity, because the guy was just about ready to step on a bus, getting, you know what I mean, to leave. How much can you share in how that short a period of time? You know, it just was totally out of order. So by the way, a little later on in life, that same person came to my church afterwards. He was hooked up in the church that I went to for a long time, but when I went out into ministry, he ended up coming to my church. He contracted some different diseases. I remember going to the hospital praying for this guy, but it wasn't many years after, as a young man, he died.
Hmm.
He went out early.
Wow.
I wept for this man. But the bottom line is, you know, I just know in my spirit that, you know, I know the total summation about him and his wife and how they would talk negatively about past leadership and authority. I mean, they got themselves in places and corners in God that you don't want to get. You know what I mean? They're just, it just doesn't, it's not appropriate. It's not, it does not behoove you, you know. But the part that I was just trying to paint the picture is witnessing and sharing your faith with other people is easier than, you know, than almost anything. It really is. If you get out there, I'm not talking about maybe the occasional tough, you know, nut that out there that, you know, that needs to be cracked. I'm just telling you, you go out and you'll find it's like touching a piece of fruit that is so ripe it just falls off the tree. There are so many, I would say 80 to 90% of the people I ever shared with were so God ready. God had made them ready. You know, in a sense, because the Bible said, you know, nobody, the Bible says that no one can come to the Father except he's drawn by the Spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord would know who is right. And of course, we pray before we go. I pray when I'm there. And Lord, bring me to those people that, whose hearts are ready to receive. I don't like rejection, and I don't like, you know, arguing and getting into strife on the streets is not a good testimony for Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? So the bottom line is there's, but, you know, Paul said it like this, you know, some preach Christ to strife and envy, you know. And he said, well, nevertheless, Christ is preached, you know. And the point is this is, you know, even as Paul told Timothy, he warned him, you know, or admonished him as he was a pastor. He told him, you know, when it comes to preaching the word, you know, preach the word, be instant in season and out. Tell people when they want to hear and tell them when they don't want to hear. I mean, there's certain things in the Old Testament. It was basically the admonition was to the prophets that, you know, if you didn't do what God told you to do, and warning somebody that was in sin, bottom line is that their blood would be required at your hand. Now, what all that means, I don't know, but it didn't sound good to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the point is this is, I just, you know, from having done, trained a lot of people in, you know what I mean? And they came out with all the wrong ideas, goofy, you know, things. And all they are is things that are rooted in fear. As far as the body of Christ goes, we have a fivefold ministry. If you're a fivefold ministry gift, your gift is to train people for the perfecting of the saints, for the, you know, edifying those in Christ for, it says, the work of the ministry. A lot of people want to put it all on the pastor, all on the evangelist. You know, the evangelist oftentimes is a ministry gift. There's certain ones that go out and have the ability, God's given them the luxury and the privilege, I believe, to be able to preach the gospel to the world and to give, you know, give testimony to the world of his son. And that's a special calling, and not everybody's called to do that. But the reality is, like you said, we are all called to share our faith on some level, and whether you're an epistle, as Paul says, written and a living epistle read of men, that's one part of being a witness. But there's a part where, you know, you've got to get people, you need to be even be more practical and explain what the Lord means to you and how he's changed your life. Nobody can take that testimony away, you know. And people want to argue about, you know, the second coming or the blah 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 or the, you know, the rapture, getting a bunch of, I avoid all that stuff. You can't teach, you know, proper sound doctrine and, you know, and eliminate some people's misbelief systems and the error that they picked up along the way in a few short minutes. But what you can do is, if you're walking in love, boy, I'll just tell you, a word or two, walking in love, kind and gentle gestures, can I'll tell you, I've seen hearts melt. I'm not exaggerating when I've seen thousands of people break down and cry like babies under the anointing of God. You know, and all I'm doing is we're just standing there virtually.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's the only part that I say it's about us is it's we were just willing vessels to go. And open.
There's so much low-hanging fruit that you don't have to go climb into the top of any trees.
Good example. I never heard that, but that is exactly it. There's actually a lot of the fruit hanging right on the ground. You're tripping over it, you know what I mean, when we're out there. And, I mean, I've seen the Lord do so many spectacular things on the streets. I've had people, you know, stone cold drunk out of their minds be sobered up within minutes to grasp words, concepts, ideas, things, you know. Whereas, I came from a alcoholic background and, you know, family and father and people that can talk for hours about nothing and drive you nuts, you know what I mean? And you understand the father-mother killer scriptures a lot better when you have alcoholic parents. But anyway, the bottom line, that's not a permission slip for anybody there. Yeah. But anyway, the point is this, witnessing is, it is what we are called to do. But Jesus says, you know, in Acts 1:8, he says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses to me, for me, however it's worded, in Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, however it goes, to the uttermost parts of the world, you know. So it's a growing ground ministry or opportunities that God brings in our lives. But you know, it's the second most basic command in Scripture to be obeyed is to be filled with the Spirit of the Living God and to be a witness for Jesus. He says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power to be a witness. See, a lot of people want to go out and they be a witness without the power. And then they end up browbeating people. And I'll just tell you, fear is a short-term motivator. You know, oh, you're going to hell in a handbasket. Well, guess what? You know, that may work for some, but it isn't a long-term motivator. The long-term motivator is the love of God. When people truly understand and they experience through another human being some unconditional love and kindness.
I'd rather sell life assurance any day over fire insurance.
There you go. Because people, you know what? They won't hang on to it, you know. And you'll never, if they never understand the love of God, they'll never realize it's that perfected love that we attain, that we are working towards, because that's what Jesus said, be imitators of God as dear children. And the part that we're to emulate and imitate is God's love, because perfected love drives out all, not some, all fear. And that's when you get to a place when a person's when they are fearless, they have freedom. And with freedom, some of the places I've been and the people I've been around, I'm just telling you, they're spooky. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, I had one brother in the Lord. I mean, this guy, of course, he was 10 years in prison and out, but he was my associate for a while, and the guy was just totally, he was totally fearless. And but of course, being around him, he's like Frankenstein monster, tall, big, heavy, strong, and he was afraid of no man. But he walked in so much love. I've never seen anybody speak as few words under the anointing of God and bring people to tears genuine tears, not tears because they're afraid of him, but because of the conviction of the love. And he is always talking love. And he went in the middle of a, he had a, one of the toughest gang things that we, when we went out, and we normally don't always, when we go out in the streets, they don't normally go to the baddest parts of town, but then there's some people that felt led to go there.
Yeah.
You know, those people need help too, so they went, they'd go there. And he'd go, I can remember, you know, some guy was getting the snot beat out of the back of a pickup truck. And he came up there, you know, and he can be, I mean, his voice, he can get pretty strong, pretty firm, and he just, you know, hey, what's going on here? You know? And they thought he was a cop, you know what I mean? Anyways, all these guys, you know, scrambled for the dark, you know, like a bunch of cockroaches, you know? Vern was his name, and Vern got in the back of the truck with this guy who was beat the snot out of and led him to the Lord. And it was, you know, his life was saved that day because this brother in the Lord was not afraid of the devil or any person filled with the devil. Because you only got their human spirit or you've got some evil spirits. And if we've got the Holy Spirit, that's one of the things that Jesus said, you know, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. But you better be walking in love. If you are walking in any kind of head game kind of stuff, any kind of pride, any kind of stuff that you think you're better than people, I guarantee you they will smell it in you like a, you know what I mean?
The devil will tie you in a knot and send you home packing.
Exactly. I mean,
yeah, I know Jesus and I have heard of Paul, but who in the heck are you?
Who's you? And it's really true. You know, it's really, really true. But anyway, how much time we got left here? I mean,
buddy.
I'm not even hit my what I wanted to talk about.
Hang on to it till Monday.
Next week, I got a whole, you know, we're going to go into it's what I laid kind of a little bit of a foundation for this week. And some really good stuff we're going to talk about in regards to, you familiar with King Ahab and Jezebel,
and
I think it's, don't know if I'm pronouncing the name right, Naboth.
I don't know him personally, but
Naboth. Well, you're familiar with the story.
Oh, of course.
So okay, well, there's some really good lessons to be learned in there, in regards to you know, victory in Christ, and you know, having right heart attitudes, and. So it's just things that the Lord's been showing me, and I'm really excited about it, you know. And it's, I think if I get excited about it, maybe somebody might be able to get excited about it.
Amen, brother. Have a good weekend, Frank.
All right. Well, we love you all, and keep praying for your the ministry, for CFRN, and all the listeners, and pray that you have a great trading day.
We'll talk to you Monday.
All right, God bless.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.